Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you. And I don't know what your take is on Easter, but Easter morning is just one of my favorite times just to be able to sing and celebrate the good news that Jesus has resurrected. And so if you're a brand new guest with us this morning, I just want to welcome you. We're so excited that you're here at Faith with us. My name is Andrew. I serve as one of the pastors. If you have a Bible, if you can open that up to Luke chapter 24, if you're not there already. One of the things that we just heard in that text is there seems to be a common human response to the story of the resurrection. And it said several times within this text that the disciples, the women at the tomb, they wondered about what had taken place. And so this morning, we're going to lean into this curiosity about the story of Easter. And I'm leaning into this partly because I myself am a curious person. I've always been curious about my abilities. I'm constantly texting in, Googling random questions to find the answers. And so, as they say, curiosity killed the cat. And at one point in my life, it almost killed me as well. When my wife and I had our very first home, we were doing some remodeling in our basement, and we were on a tight time frame to get our basement ready for a party that was happening the next weekend. And so I'm pulling apart the drywall and looking at the wall, and I thought it was going to be an easy job. And then right in the middle of it, I see this electrical wire running through the wall. And so I'm, you know, early in my 20s, kind of figuring out the remodel life, and I thought I'd turned off all the power, looking at everything. My wife's upstairs watching TV, and I couldn't figure out how to solve this problem of getting this wire out of the way. And so late at night, I just thought, I'll just cut it. I wonder what the worst could happen. And so I got my gloves on and the wire cutters, and I cut this wire, and sure enough, there was electricity in it, and there's this big flash in front of my eyes, and the whole house did one of these, like, and I sit there a moment kind of taking in what had happened, and I hear this voice from upstairs, my wife say, Andrew? So I made it, and I've also become less curious about electricity. So curiosity can bring us to some beautiful places, some hidden gems of beauty that we might not see otherwise. It brings us along a journey about what is true and real. And my hope and my prayer is that we would all lean in to the story of Easter again, whether you've been in church your entire life, or maybe you're just showing up and you're checking out what this faith thing is all about, that we would lean in and develop a curiosity about this story of Easter. So here in Luke 24, there's this word, it's wonder. This group of women, they get to the tomb and they notice that the body of Jesus is gone, and they wonder what had happened. And right before their eyes in verse 5, angels appear before them and they say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen." So the women, they go back and they tell the 11 disciples and the others what had happened. And in verse 11, it says that they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And this makes sense. Put yourself in the shoes of a disciple. I mean, people who die, in your experience, in my experience, stay dead. Yes? Death is final. There's no do-over with death. Once you die, that's it. The disciples saw that Jesus died. And so they're wondering. One of the ways we can think about this word wonder is a feeling of doubt or uncertainty. Maybe a wonder, a sense of fear, uncomfortability. And I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, part of this story of Easter, a man resurrecting from the grave, causes a bit of wonder with a question mark. Feeling of doubt, uncertain. Could this really happen? Well, Peter felt this. So in verse 12, he got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is wonder with a question mark. A feeling of doubt or uncertainty. And you might be here this morning and you might be just like Peter and just like the women at the grave, and that is an okay place to be. Wondering if the resurrection actually happened. You know, something can happen to us as we read these types of texts and we think about this event happening 2,000 years ago and what the people would have been like 2,000 years ago. And we think, they're such a primitive group of people. They didn't have the sophistication or the education or the technology that we have today. I mean, certainly a story could be told over and over again that there was this man, Jesus, he rose from the dead, and eventually people just started believing it. And so now we're here on Sunday morning in church. Maybe that's how you see this playing out. But if you look a little bit closer in the Gospels, you get to the story after Jesus did, in fact, resurrect from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and his disciples start telling people about this message. And so in the book of Acts, Peter, this one who was wondering, could this actually happen? Could the resurrection actually take place? He's preaching this message to thousands of people in Jerusalem. And here's what he says. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And they were all like, yeah, we remember that. There was Jesus and the two thieves. He was nailed to the cross. Right on, Peter. And he says, but God raised him from the dead. Now, what's interesting is Peter is preaching this message to thousands of people. And the story goes that Jesus appeared to the 11, then he appeared again, and then to 500 at one time. And when Peter says these words, but God raised him from the dead, I'm sure he's looking out into the crowd, and instead of people shaking their head, there's probably affirmation that this did in fact take place. Oh yeah, my neighbor Martha saw him. Oh, that one time John saw him. Oh, my cousin Zebedee, he can't stop talking about it because there's this whole group of people that saw the risen Christ, that this did in fact happen. And so these people were not unsophisticated. They had the same level of skepticism that people would rise from, that you and I have. But here's what it says in Acts. When they heard this message, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. See, the Easter story is that thousands upon thousands would end up giving their lives to the testimony that Jesus Christ was in fact a historical man who died a criminal's death, but was resurrected. And his appearance was seen by so many that it was undeniable that his resurrection actually took place. And so maybe you're here this morning. Maybe that's not your hurdle with the Easter story. Maybe you can, in fact, believe and accept the fact that Jesus was a historical man who walked this earth. Maybe you could, in fact, even believe that somehow God's power was able to raise him from the dead. Maybe the question for you is, does it even matter? Does the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, does it have any influence, any significance, any meaning in your life whatsoever? See, for so many of us, we can take the same approach to Easter that the women did, that Peter did, is that we can go and look for Jesus in the tomb. We can search for the living among the dead. In other words, we can treat Easter, although we can believe all the right things and believe that what the Bible says is true, we can treat Easter like the resurrection didn't happen. We can believe Jesus lived a good life. He set a good example. But the resurrection, does that actually make a difference in my life? And I'll let you in on a little secret. It wasn't until Jesus ascended into heaven that Jesus's closest friends even acted like the resurrection mattered in their life. For instance, let's take Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends. He goes to the tomb wondering what had taken place. Did someone steal the body of Christ? And then Jesus appears to them and he believes, but he doesn't really believe. He believes that Jesus resurrected from the dead, but the resurrection didn't make a personal connection in his life. Jesus had told him to go and fish for men, to be God's witness into the world. Instead, Peter turns and he goes and starts fishing back for fish. goes back to his old way of life, goes back to living in a way as though the resurrection didn't even matter. Because he was looking at Jesus as this model to follow rather than something else. And so you might be here this morning and you might say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. But if I'm going to be honest with myself, does the resurrection change my heart? Does it change my life in any significant way? And you might say, I don't know if it really does. Does Easter even matter? And in that way, maybe you too have this wonder with the question mark. There's doubt and uncertainty. There was this event, but how does it become real for me? Well, there's another way that we can talk about this word wonder. And it's not wonder with a question mark. It's wonder with an exclamation point. It's a wonder that causes astonishment or admiration to simply marvel at what had taken place. Have you ever found yourself in wonder at a majestic mountainscape? Have you ever wondered as you peered into the night sky to see the northern lights? Have you ever wondered at a moment that was so beautiful, so profound, that just words have a hard way of describing what you're taking in? And as Jesus' disciples and the New Testament writers would go on to reflect the significance of the resurrection, that they move from this place of wonder with curiosity and a question mark and doubt and skepticism to this place of astonishment and admiration and to marvel at the beauty that the resurrection actually matters. And this morning, I want to let you in on three ways that I see it mattering to our lives and to those who first witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the first one, is that the resurrection gives us the wonder of peace. It gives us the wonder of peace. So Jesus died. He was put in the tomb. The women go to visit the tomb and they can't find him. And so they're wondering. There's this confusion. There's this fear. The disciples are huddled in with the doors locked in fear that the authorities are coming after them. The body of Jesus is missing. And here's what it says in verse 36 of Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, what could have happened to Jesus? Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. When we take in the significance of the resurrection, it gives us a deep soul level peace. Now, one of the reasons why we oftentimes don't experience the peace of God in the way that the Bible describes is because we don't understand why the resurrection actually needed to take place. Take a look at Luke 24, jumping back to verse 7. The angel said to the women, they said that the Son of Man must be delivered and handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified on the third day and be raised again. The angels are saying to the woman, he must die. He must suffer. He must be raised. But these women are a lot like us. Oftentimes we think that Jesus did die and he did in fact raise from the dead, but we don't really realize that he needed to. See, the women believed that Jesus suffered as some sort of example. He held his integrity. He was a great man. He loved them and he died for them in some general way. And his death was just another illustration of this self-sacrificial love that Jesus embodied in every example. His death meant that they were to honor his memory and to live sacrificially like Jesus. They were to live out his teaching. And so Jesus was this moral example, and now by setting this ultimate example of dying on the cross, they are now to follow his life. But the angels come on the scene, and they interrupt this thought. And they say, not that just Jesus did die, but he needed to. And the reason why he needed to die was so that you could experience peace. So my question for you this morning is, do you believe this? Do you believe not just that Jesus died, but that he needed to die for you? because that's a difference. See, if you just see Jesus as this great example of a moral teacher, then to follow Jesus is to follow him by making your life good, to be a good person. And there's this belief that if I put enough good acts together in a row, I'll experience peace in my life. Except you won't. Because if you're trying to follow Jesus just as an example, you grind your life out and you measure your good against other people's good. And if I have more good than bad, or if my good is a little bit better than their good, then I'll be on the right side of the curve. But the problem with that life is when hardship happens, when tragedy happens, when things don't go well, you begin asking this question, why do bad things happen to good people? And you find yourself mad at God and you say, God, I deserve better, or they deserve better because they're better than I am. God isn't fair. Don't you realize all the good that has been done? And you find yourself anxious and worried to trying to become this better model of the life of Jesus. But when you live that way, you're not realizing that he needed to die for you. Because when you realize that Jesus needed to die for you, what you are saying is that I'm not in control of my life. What you're realizing is that I need a savior. I need someone who would die for me because there's no good. There's not enough good that I can do in the world that would make me good enough to follow the example of Jesus. What I need ultimately is not an example. I need a sacrifice. I need a savior. And so part of the way that we experience the peace that comes from the resurrection is when we say the three most powerful words that we can say on Easter morning, God, I'm sorry. I don't need an example to follow. I need a savior to save me from my brokenness. I don't have my life put together. I can't do enough good to bring me enough peace. I'm sorry. And the message of Christianity is when we come before God and say, God, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done to you and to others and the mess that I've made in this world, we begin to have peace with God. And as we experience peace with God, we experience the peace of God and from God in our lives. I think about a wonderful example, a woman by the name of Lorraine, who served at my former church. She was always serving in the kids ministry. Anytime we had the doors open and we needed a kids ministry volunteer, there was Lorraine. Had this cheerful attitude. She was always filled with joy, so happy to serve these children. Well, one day we found out that Lorraine was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor. Lorraine kept showing up, kept serving the children. We prayed for Lorraine and said, hey, Lorraine, do you want to like go spend time with your family? You don't really need to take on the... Nope, she was there day after day, continually serving in our kids' ministry. Well, Lorraine had eventually passed away from this brain tumor, and I'd found out at her funeral that her family shared that the day that she heard about this terminal brain tumor, she got the diagnosis, she didn't ask the question, why me? This isn't fair. God, you've seen all the good that I've done serving your church and serving people and loving people well. No, she said this. She said, well, why not me? This could happen to anybody. Why not me? I'm good with God. My life is filled with peace. How my life ends doesn't determine the joy and the peace that I have in my heart and my soul. And this is the way that Lorraine lived. See, when you have peace with God, say, God, I'm sorry, and received his forgiveness, there's this wonder of peace that is a part of the resurrection story. It's not just that Jesus died, but he needed to die so we could experience this peace. Here's the second thing, is the resurrection gives us the wonder of forgiveness. See, there's another way that we can live our lives, not just putting ourselves together and try to earn God's favor, but we can go the other way, is that when someone criticizes us, we find ourselves beating ourselves up. And we come to the belief that if we can just say we're sorry enough times, that maybe God will truly forgive us. But again, here's what Jesus said in Luke 24. He says, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, I grew up in a church context where you were always meant to feel guilty, filled with shame, the fact that God is disappointed with you. See, but when we realize that Jesus needed to die, he is a sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, the punishment was dealt with. And that punishment is forgiven. And so we don't need to come with this posture of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so low. But the three most powerful words that we can hear on Easter morning is, you are forgiven. We say, God, I'm sorry. And we hear from heaven, you are forgiven. And so part of the wonder of Easter is that we get to stop beating ourselves up. We get to stop criticizing ourselves, trying to serve God and others in order to make something up for him, because we live as being children who are forgiven by our Heavenly Father. And these two things about the resurrection leads to the third one, and that is that the resurrection gives us the wonder of new life. The amazement, the marvel of this new life that God has given us through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Now, if you've come to an Easter service before, you've probably heard words like forgiveness and peace. These are really good words, and they can be really churchy words. They can also be intellectual ideas. They can kind of just like live out there, and you'd say, yes, I agree with them in theory, but maybe you haven't experienced them in your heart. You don't sense them. You don't feel them. As a result, it's because you don't maybe really truly know him. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral before for someone that you just knew casually. And as you think about them and remember moments that you spent with them, you say, yeah, I knew that person, but I don't really know them like the family knew them. I don't know their character. I don't know how they would respond to this situation. I don't truly know them. And the same maybe could be said about the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, there was this Jesus. He died on a cross. He resurrected from the grave. And that's great. And now he's offering peace and forgiveness. And I want that in my life. But can I know that? Can I truly know him in the way that the disciples knew him? And the story of the resurrection says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, sometimes in Christianity, we can focus so much on the cross that we forget about the significance of the resurrection. See, the cross deals with the penalty of sin. That is that we are forgiven because we need a Savior. But the resurrection is all about the new life that we experience in God. That the cross is forgiveness, but the resurrection is new life. How does this work? Well, here's how Paul talks about it in Romans 8. He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Now, just understand this for a second. That oftentimes when we talk about the resurrection, we talk about what Jesus did, but Paul is making a nuanced point here. And the point is that when we look at the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it's the Father. God the Father willed it. God the Son participated in it. But it was the Holy Spirit who accomplished it. In other words, the resurrection couldn't have happened without God the Holy Spirit coming on the scene and bringing death into life. And now what Paul is saying, that same Holy Spirit who showed up on Easter Sunday and that resurrected our Lord Jesus and brought from the dead back to life, that same Spirit is given to you. So Easter isn't hanging out there as an idea that we could maybe experience peace or we could maybe experience forgiveness. But now the ways in which we are dead in our sin, the ways in which we are not a part of God's holiness and grace, those dead things come alive by that very same Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead is given to us. Do you know what that means? It means Easter isn't just an idea. Resurrection isn't just about what will happen in the future. Easter is a message that resurrection is happening in our hearts and our lives today. That yes, we are forgiven from our sins, but we also participate in the resurrection by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit makes us alive in Christ and who he is, to follow his example, not just simply because he was a moral teacher, but because his Spirit lives in us. Easter is this life that God is inviting us to live. Yes, our past can be forgiven, but our present can be filled and our future is secure because Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit lives in us, giving testimony of his life and his example to us. So as we close our message this morning, my question for you is, how do you hold Easter in your heart? Do you hold Easter with a wonder question mark? Maybe there's doubt, there's uncertainty. Maybe you're at the place you say, I'm still unconvinced if a dead person could actually come back to life. If that's where you're at, man, we love for you to be part of this church community and understand why we have this conviction that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a wonder with the question mark saying, yes, I believe that Jesus resurrected, but it doesn't really make any difference in my life. I want to give you an invitation. And the invitation is one to recognize that all of us, every single human who has ever walked this earth, has been in need of a Savior. And number two is because of the work that Jesus did on the cross and because he rose from the grave, that salvation and that forgiveness is final. And because the Holy Spirit has been given to those who believe, we now are invited into this life with God in Christ Jesus. That's the message of Easter, that we can experience it today. And we can turn that wonder with a question mark into a wonder with an exclamation point of astonishment and amazement of who he is and how resurrection is a part of our reality. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess before you that when we think about the message of the gospel and the story of Jesus and the resurrection, that there's great mystery, there's great wonder around how these things could have taken place. But God, it continually points to your power and how you are greater than all things. And so, Father, I pray for those who are in this room this morning that find themselves with curiosity, with a wonder, questioning about why Easter even really matters. Lord, I pray that this morning that they would be able to see and acknowledge the fact that we are all in need of forgiveness and that we would come to the point where we say, God, we are sorry. And that we would hear the words from our Heavenly Father that you are also forgiven. And in the offering up of asking for forgiveness and receiving it, that the Holy Spirit may find himself in our hearts today, this Easter, giving resurrection life to our hearts and our souls, that the reality of the mystery of the gospel would be revealed in Christ Jesus, and that we would be living this new life. In the same way that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, may too our hearts be resurrected to new life in him as we put our hope and our trust in him as our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.